This is KWVA Eugene. This is the Sunday Morning Hangover. Reverend Mark Time with you for another hour. We're on side two of this record, the Sunday Morning Hangover. I played for you a track by Margot Moyer from 1996, which was basically a remake of the first Moyer's Sisters hit in Australia from 1974. It was called Good Morning, How Are You? And it was an ode that Gene Moyer, the Brian Wilson of the band, wrote for her mom. We're going to try to get them on the phone after this record. This is the original first hit by the Moyer Sisters. That was the Moyer Sisters, and I think we have them on the phone. Are you there?
Yes, Mark, we're here.
All right, we've got the Moyer Sisters. This is the most incredible thing. I was so excited to set this up because back in 1978, I got a copy of your album, State of Shock, at Rather Ripped Records, and just played it for everybody. And everybody was like, Mark, you're into the Clash and the Sex Pistols. Why are you playing the Moyer Sisters? You know? So anyways.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, we're on the phone with the Moyer Sisters. You're in Melbourne, Australia, and what time is it there right now?
Must be about just after 6 o'clock.
And what day is it?
It's Monday morning.
No, it's Sunday. It's Sunday morning. No, we're actually a day ahead, everybody. So this is so great to set this up. Gene, could you say hello?
Hello.
And Margo, could you say hello?
No.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I thought you were the one with the high voice. That's one of your sisters told me that on Facebook.
yeah, Margot's got the high voice.
That's right, and I always thought it was Leslie. We're talking about the Moyer sisters, who were a trio back in 1974, and it was, I guess, Leslie was the youngest one, right?
That's right, yes.
And Jean, you were the eldest, the songwriter, and Margot in the middle. And I know what it's like to be a middle child. I'm one, too.
Are you?
Yes. And so let me start with Jean, because, Jean, you wrote a lot of the Moyer sisters stuff. How did you get into music? Let's go back even before that last record we played, Good Morning, How Are You, which you had a hit with. What was the first thing you did musically?
I think it was back in Scotland when I was about 12 years old. Our next-door neighbour was selling the guitar, so Dad had bought the guitar from the neighbour, and I just started to play around with a few chords, and then I started to just put some music to the words, and it was maybe about 12, 13 when I started to do things with music. But we were all musically minded ever since we were small.
What was it? Was it your parents that introduced you to music, or how did you get into it?
Yeah, but both my parents were very musical, and they did a lot of musical shows back in Scotland when they were younger and everything, so it just sort of gradually developed. And as children, we always had to perform for grandparents and whatnot, you know, when we were little, and it just sort of developed from there, I guess.
I'll tell you, your songwriting style is interesting because it doesn't follow any set pattern, and I want to lead up to some of the first songs you wrote. Were they simple, and did you record anything before Good Morning, How Are You?
I sort of mainly became better at songwriting as I went on a bit, probably about 14. No, we didn't record anything prior to that, but we had written a lot of songs. But Good Morning was the first song that some record producers heard and wanted to record us, sort of thing, and that's how it developed with getting the contract with EMI.
How did they hear it? What was the impetus that got you into the studio? Were you Three Sisters a band at that time playing live, or how did that come about?
Yes, what happened was we just went into a few talent shows, and then just local talent shows, and then there was one on television that we entered, and that was where they had heard us on television, and then we were offered a record contract with EMI for that single, and it just developed from there. When I was about 16, I think, at the time when that happened.
Well, let's talk about Good Morning, How Are You, your big hit, and I guess it was a hit in Australia, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And that song is about your mom. Tell me about how you wrote it and how that came about.
Okay, just really weird. I was just playing around with some chords and whatever, and the words, and then I think it was Mother's Day coming up or whatever, and just thought, I'll dedicate this song to my mum.
Because it's
just very simple, really.
It's not a simple song, though. If you listen musically to it, there's all kinds of changes going on. It doesn't follow any blues pattern, and it is so well produced. Tell me about the when you first heard the produced version, what did you think?
Well, naturally, we were all teenagers, and we just thought, wow. we had no idea that song was going to be turned into that. And it was just amazing when we first heard it because, just on the two guitars, it just sounded very basic. And then when we heard it with the whole orchestra and everything behind it, it was amazing, really. And then when they started to play it on the radio, and we heard it for the first time as teenagers on the radio, it was just amazing.
Let's talk about your haircuts.
Let's not.
No, by the way, we're speaking with Jean and Margot Moyer from Australia, from the Moyer sisters. Now, there's a really cool YouTube clip about how you went to somebody and he gave you a David Bowie haircut.
Yes.
Do either of you want to tackle that one?
Okay. Well, prior to this is Margot. Prior prior to doing that, I was doing hairdressing, and my employer at the time, Antonio, suggested that we get some, you know, really modern haircuts, and we said just take off just a tiny little bit, and he took the whole lot off, and all of a sudden we turned into spikies, and it was just amazing.
The three of you look awesome in those haircuts, especially the young one. Leslie, and it's amazing your transition between that and the State of Shock record, how State of Shock, you're so prissy and so well-groomed, and the pictures I see of the early band, you look almost like a glam rock band, kind of like ABBA or one of those bands.
Yes,
it's
yes,
really
that would
cool.
be right.
So you have
a bigger budget, you see.
And what the comments I get from people, I play your record, I've been playing Good Morning, How Are You for about a month now, and the comments are the amazing high harmonies. And that's, you're the one with the high voice, supposedly, Margot?
Yeah, that's right.
And I always thought it was Leslie, you know, because she was the youngest, but...
it's really hard to tell our voices apart, because I think it's a genetic thing with brothers and sisters, isn't it?
It's sort of like the Beach Boys, only female to me, because not only do you have like the main songwriter, but you have this particular sound that you developed all yourselves revolving around harmonies, and that's why I'm so fascinated with the Moyer sisters, because to me, of course you were big in Australia, and you might have even had some hits in Europe, but you kind of passed America by, so to speak, you know? So you had an album. How did the album come about? It's called Lost Somewhere Beyond Harmony, which I still am looking for. 1975.
Well, that was the first, yes. After we had Good Morning, then they decided they were going to go ahead with the album, Lost Somewhere Beyond Harmony. And, that's how that one came about after that. And, then after that, we came to the attention of Rocket Records in America.
Yes, but there's a sort of a three-year gap there. What did you do between 75 and 77? Were you just gigging, touring? I understand there might have been another album in between, but it got scrapped, or a tour in between?
No, we did so much television in Australia. It was mainly television.
Yes.
We were mainly traveling interstate doing television shows. We did an awful lot of television, and... And I think we were a support act. I think the Osmonds came out in 75 to Australia, so we were supporting a support act to the Osmond family. They were pretty big back then.
That
mm-hmm.
was appropriate too, wasn't it?
Mm. Yes. So, yeah, we did quite a bit of touring and whatnot around Australia. And that was about it, really, until someone had taken our music across to the States. And then the next thing we heard that Rocket... perhaps were interested in signing us up.
Yes, we're talking about Elton John's label.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
And
yes.
John Farrar was sort of a famous producer. What band did he come from?
He came from a group called The Twilights.
Yeah, and he produced that album, and it's got real 70s, 80s production on it. But,
it does, very, very much so.
But no, go ahead.
He was fantastic to work with.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
We spent a month in L.A., was it?
That's right.
Yes. A month in L.A., just going there every day, and he didn't do anything to destroy the songs. He did very, very little to them, and yet he worked magic on them as well. We were very, very pleased with the end result.
We're going to be playing a track after the interview from State of Shock, 1978 State of Shock on Rocket Records. By the way, everybody, if you tuned in, we're talking with the Moyer sisters, who are at 6 o'clock on a Monday morning in Australia right now. So you had members of Toto in on those sessions, the band Toto, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
We didn't know at the time who was on that. We were so young when it's not until we look back we realize the importance of
yes.
all the musicians that had played on the album.
I know, you got some heavy hitters on here, but needless to say, you didn't even realize that the record had been released in America. How did it do in other countries? Say, how did it do in Australia
It was never released.
No.
Oh.
We just didn't know that it had even been released because there was some... I think at the time Rocket Records was trying to find a distributor and all the rest of it, and then the next thing, we never heard anything else about her album. And one of our friends in Australia said, oh, we saw your album in one of the import shops here, and we didn't even know it was released. It's just a bizarre state of affairs, really. And then when we heard that you were playing it all those years ago, it was even more strange.
Yeah.
Well, very neat.
I came across it because it arrived at my store, Rather Ripped Records, and I looked at the cover and I saw these three beautiful women, and I thought, well, you know, you can't miss with that. Let's put it on. And at the time, I was into all this aggro stuff, Throbbing Gristle, uh-huh. Kraut Rock, and space rock, and punk rock, and all this other stuff. But what I liked about it is it was sort of a magical island of peace for me. It was just such a peaceful, beautiful thing, and the harmonies and the songs were just outrageously great. And I would play it for people in those days when somebody walked in a record store. Somebody would say, "Hey, you got to hear this," and I'd put it on, and I sold. We had 10 copies that I sold out, and we never saw it again after that. It disappeared. So, you know, that was a great album, State of Shock, and now I see it's running for up to $150 on some of the rare record sites.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And wow. You didn't even have a copy of it till I mailed the CD to you.
I know.
Now, that's bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very bizarre.
So, anyhow, we have the three Moyer sisters. They go to America, they cut a great record, and then did you end up in Britain for some reason?
Yes, we decided to, when we got the contract with Rocket, we decided to all sort of move back to Britain for a while, because we originally came from Scotland, and we all went back there, and we sort of liaised with Rocket Records London and the States. We were signed with the States, so it was easy for travelling just back from Britain to the States. So we were in Britain for a little while there. And we didn't really do anything in Britain. And then after a while, nothing happened with the record, and then we just decided to come back to Australia.
Well, two of you did.
Two of us did.
Yes. Yes, what happened to the young... Well, I don't want to pry. I don't want to get personal. Because, you know...
she was so young at the time, she was still with Mum and Dad.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Your parents stayed in Great Britain.
Yes.
And you ended up going back to Australia because, needless to say, you were big in Australia. Why not? You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So then we're down to two Moyer sisters. All right. and there's a little period there after State of Shock where there's no releases. Did you do touring at that point?
Back in Australia, you mean?
Yeah, I'm talking about the lost years between 78 and 82. What were the Moyer sisters up to then?
We were the Moyer sisters too.
Yes. I think when we came back in 78, we were just sort of still writing and trying to maybe get another contract, maybe. And that sort of came about in 1982 with So Excited.
Oh, man, and I wish I could play that. My computer crashed. I've got it on YouTube right here, and my computer's just buzzing, and it won't let me play. I'm going to try to play that next week. That is one of my favorite records you've done, and it's sort of atypical of your sound because it really follows a pattern. It's sort of that early 70s disco-ish type stuff, or I should say early 80s. But to me, it's such an appealing pop song about a girl who's she's so excited to go out to a concert with her boyfriend and go home with her boyfriend, and it's just so awesome. So Excited, how high on the charts did that go in Australia? Was that a top 10?
It did really, really well throughout regional areas, country. So what we did was we got together some of the better musicians in Australia, and that was when we started to tour live.
That's right, yes.
And we did all the regional areas firstly before we came into the city.
Because it's an awesome record. It's very well produced. And who's the gentleman that was in the video with you that had something to do with the record?
Well, he's not related.
Oh. He's not. His name isn't Moyer.
No.
He's like
No.
He's like the fifth Moyer, because you've got another sister too, right?
We do.
Yeah.
We have Leanne. She's the youngest.
Yes, Leanne. So this gentleman, he's on Facebook. I notice he's on your pages a lot.
You're talking about Glenn Driscoll.
Yes. What?
You're talking about DJ.
Oh, he's just a DJ friend of ours. No, the guy on the clip. He was just hired for the day.
Oh, okay. I thought it's funny. You guys were making fun. See, I don't know whether you're serious or not.
That's how we are, you see.
I thought he was the guy. So, Glenn, what did Glenn have to do with the record So Excited? Did he produce that, or how did it come about?
No, Glenn had nothing to do with the thing. We're just being silly on Facebook with him.
So who wrote So Excited?
Well, Margot and I kind of. It's a collaboration.
Yeah, because it's very different than your other sound, and it sounds like you kind of went back to basics and said, let's go for it, let's try to get a hit single, and that's what happened.
I think so, yeah. And it was enough to get another recording contract with the Warner Brothers, so we went for it.
Oh, it was great, and I love on that TV show on the YouTube how you have matching outfits. Those outfits are wonderful, and your hair is beautiful, just long and everything. It's not short like back in the early 70s. So
totally the opposite. Yes.
So the two Moyer sisters, Jean and Margot, have a couple of records. You had Running Scared in '83. How'd that do?
Not as good as the other one.
So at some point, Margot goes solo. Tell me how, unless, of course, I'm bringing up bad blood or something, tell me what happened after you had these couple of hits and in the period till Margot went solo. Did you just do more touring?
We did. We worked together for quite some time as two. And the whole industry, as you know, changed quite rapidly.
Yes.
And it wasn't, when we first started, it was like Hollywood. It was like, it was like an oyster. You could do things, you could achieve things. But as time went on, deals were harder to get, and it just became very, very different. So,
I think what happened was the era of groups started to fall by, and it turned into so and so and so and so rather than a group. And I guess I guess the next logical thing was for Margot to put out some solo stuff. But what happened to you, Jean? Was that the end of your music career or what?
No, I didn't really do anything Yeah, that was basically it for a while, you know, and, I've had two children and just got into other things, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still love music, and,
Do you still write songs?
Yeah, at the moment, I'm sort of in the middle of doing a song at the moment.
Oh, that's great, because your songwriting style is just incredible. So,
thank you.
So let's focus on Margot now. We've got the Margot years, Margot Moyer, and you have the Strong and Mighty album, which we played, but you also had a single called Scarlet Skies. Tell me about that and how that came about.
Scarlet Skies was actually picked up, and I was lucky enough to be with Albert Records. ACDC's sounds really opposite to everything else. ACDC's mob, and and we went to Broken Hill to do the clip, which is, I don't know if people know Broken Hill, but it's a silver mining place, and you walk on the dirt and there's like big hunks of silver just sticking out, and it's just so beautiful. And that did reasonably well, and we sort of I did a few tours with that, and no complaints, Did all right.
No, I've got it right in front of me. I'm looking at the picture sleeve. I just love 45s, and I love picture sleeves.
I know.
And I'm just checking it out right now, 1988, and back with Tightrope. And look at that, both written by Margot, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, and you put out this fabulous album, Strong and Mighty, in the mid-90s. What happened between, say, the Scarlet Skies and the Strong and Mighty album?
Well, really just writing a lot and working live in Australia with a band under another name, and then as Margot Moyer, and just doing ads for television, whatever, you know, just writing for other people as well. There was a couple of artists that picked up a song called Mood I'm In in Europe, and that was, I think there was about 3 cuts of that actually picked up, so that was a bit of a buzz.
I'll tell you, it's so great, the length and the longevity of your careers, because now we're getting into the 90s, the late 90s, and you formed a band with your daughter, Ray Emma, called Celtic Spirit. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, and you did a great CD called Rise Up Together, and I really enjoy your stuff. I'm not so much into the guys' stuff on here. But is that where you ended up, was in 1999 with Celtic Spirit? Is that the last thing you've put out?
Yeah. We're actually together for about, 6-7 years as Celtic Spirit as the band. And then bands became a little bit unfashionable, and we became Celtic Spirit as 3.
Mm-hmm. Now...
Yeah, playing guitar, 2 guitars, and 3 vocals. My daughter, another guitarist, and myself.
Well, I'll tell you, your vocal sound, both of you, is just so unique. And what a lot of people just don't believe, that it's really you. There's some clown on YouTube who says about Good Morning, How Are You, this release was recorded by session vocalists, not the Moyer sisters. This high-pitched vocal treatment was so the song could be construed as something by young children. Is that true? Is that true that session people came in and they sped up the tapes?
Not at all. I don't know why they would want to say something like that anyway. There's no point to the story, really.
It just shows you that people just cannot believe how good you are.
But we'll take that as a compliment.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about the future. Of course, you know, I'm moving on in my age, and you've got families in mm-hmm. Australia. What are you two doing? Gene, first, what are you basically up to? Are you working? Are you retired? What's the deal?
I've sort of come back into the writing. I'm not saying as prolific as I used to. It takes a lot of time to sit down and write. But, I've just been dabbling in that at the moment and trying to get this song finished that I've sort of started and hear the end result of it, more or less.
Well, if you ever have a release, you know that I will play it. So at least somebody on radio.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you.
Margot, what are you up to nowadays?
I'm still dabbling away there. I've got a small home studio, so it's really good to be able to put stuff down as you go. The live thing at the moment is not really what I'm sort of interested in. I've just taken a little bit of a break after working 5 years. And let me tell you, doing 3 45-minute sets is pretty tough.
Oh, yeah. I used to be in a band, and I'm too old to rock and roll and too young to die. So I know how that works.
I used to rock, but now I just roll.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I rolled over on top of my wife this morning.
That's too much information, Mike. No. Are you all right?
let's move on. Leslie. Well, what is Leslie up to? She's living in London?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she lives in London, but she's here at least two or three times a year, which is fantastic. And she's got a lovely family over there. And, because when she was over there, she met her husband there as time went on. And we get together quite often just on Facebook and that.
And then there's the other sister who I guess never sang with you. Which one was that?
Leanne.
And she's on Facebook as well. And where's she now and what is she up to?
She lives about 5 minutes away from us.
Yes.
There's three sisters here in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And we all live sort of like, you know, within 5 minute drive of each other, which is really good. And Leanne, I think she was just about getting groomed to become part of the Moya sisters when it just dissipated.
Yeah, that was my next question. Was there ever any thought of bringing her in? And you just answered it. Well, okay.
Yeah.
So we're winding down the interview, but I have a question for you. Some guy comes along and says, "I'm going to give you $100,000 if you reform the Moya sisters and go on tour. Would you do it?"
$100,000?
Yes. I don't know what that is in Australian money, but but no, because
well, something to think about.
You'd have to consider things, wouldn't you?
No,
the logistics of it.
The reason I'm saying this is because you have all kinds of bands all of a sudden coming back and doing tours, and some of these bands don't even have any of the original members in them. And okay, Moya Sisters, they were, you know, big in Australia, had records in America, records in England, but it seems like a lot of people are finding interest in a lot of that sort of stuff, and I'm just wondering.
It's cool, really.
Yeah, and it's an important part of our musical history to go back and look at groups like yours, for example, which back in 1970, 70, 74, having a band with a woman writing the songs, all women in the band, was sort of an amazing thing. It was not where some Svengali was like pulling your strings. You actually were kind of controlling what you were doing. And that's an amazing thing. And that's an important part of particularly women in rock. And I think you deserve to be in the Women in Rock Encyclopedia whenever that thing comes out.
Wow. Well, we did do a there was a documentary done here. I don't know if it's on YouTube or what. It was called Love is in the Air. And it was paying tribute to all the women in Australia from the era that we came from the 70s, and we were included in that, which was fantastic. But I think it was an Australian documentary, and it had Helen Reddy, Olivia Newton-John, ourselves, and other singers, and
they released a book as well, I think.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I
would love to find that. Before we wrap up, let's start with Gene. Gene, who would you say are some of your favorite pop composers.
There's just so many, Mark. I used to listen to a lot of Joni Mitchell. I love Steely Dan, all the stuff. Donald Fagen, I love all that kind of stuff. There's just so many, really. A lot of new people, too, that I listen to. You can go on forever. Anything that pricks up my ears and, you know, does something for me, that's what I love.
How about you, Margot? We were talking about Imogene Heap the other day. Was that you and me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she is just so awesome. She is like where I see music going. What other artists do you like, Margot?
Let me see. Again, there's so many. I mean, I don't even mind Beyoncé.
No, she's good. She's good.
She is. There's something about a song. If a song gets me, it doesn't matter who the artist is. I suppose suppose at the end of the day, it's how it affects you. It's a personal thing too, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And a lot of it's the song. I mean, there's the old argument, is it the singer or the song? And mainly what I like is melody, and if melody...
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, if melody hits me, it doesn't matter the personality or the musician or what they're involved with. You know, if it's a good melody, it's something you can carry around with yourself. And I'm finding a lot of music nowadays is basically they beat a riff into the ground over 2 or 3 minutes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not into that. Well, anyways, I could go on for another half hour, but I know that you just woke up. It's Monday morning. Welcome to Monday in Australia. And you don't know how much this means to me to be able to speak with you about the Moyer sisters. You know, it's one of those things that, if you can imagine, I had your record in 78, and here I have to wait till 2010 to talk to you.
Isn't it amazing, really? It really is.
Yeah.
And we're all still alive.
Yes, yes, we made it. We made it through all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. And so did the Moyer sisters. So thank you so much for coming on the show. If you could stay on the phone after I take you off the air, I want to just say goodbye to you. So hang on. We're going to listen to the Moyer sisters from State of Shock, everybody. And this is a track called We Could. Get this right. We Could Have Been Together. Thank you so much for coming in.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Together, tears.
Well, I was so excited about interviewing the Moyer sisters that I clipped the beginning of that song. I really apologize. That was the Moyer sisters. We could have been together from the State of Shock album. That was so much fun. You know, I know it might have put some of you asleep, but myself, it was a high point on the Sunday Morning Hangover. You're listening to Reverend Mark Time on the Sunday Morning Hangover. We just had a very jam-packed day. We are still in the middle of celebrating National Record Store Day, and I've got another record I picked up for a quarter yesterday I wanted to play for you. This is kind of a funny one by Lou Christie. Here we go.
Two faces have I.
Listening to something by, who is this? Mondo, La Deuce, and this is something called Bad Girls Go to Hell by Laurent Lombard. Mondo La Deuce is the, but you know, since it's Record Store Day, I'm going to kind of live dangerously. By the way, we have sports coming up at noon. This is the Reverend Mark Time. I'm going to put on a record I never heard before, and I picked up a bunch of records for a quarter each. This one's called, I love this here. Check it out. Here, turn that guy off. happy honking, honky-tonking, truck-driving man. This is a 45 on what label? I love these little labels, man. These little labels are the best. Hiller Records from where? Omaha, Nebraska. So, Dale Turner, happy, blah, 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 honky, tonky, conky, something on 45.
Grinding gears and drinking beer, that's all he seems to know. Listening to that country music on the radio. 6 days out and one day in, he's here and gone again. And while he's gone, I sit at home alone and wait for him. He's my happy honking, honky-tonking, truck-driving man. Overloading dangerous roads are his excuse again. I wait at home, he telephones, but I know where he's been. He's been out for rounds and round and drinking beer again. Laughing and a-joking with some new acquainted friends. He's my driving man. His weakness for the night life takes him anywhere. Wherever there's a jukebox playing, he'll be there. Diesel smoke and telling jokes is all he cares about. He's never home for very long, somehow I feel left out. I just don't dig that big old rig, but do the best I can to live the life of a trucker's wife and try to
got nothing to lose. You're invisible now. You got secrets to conceal. How does it feel?
Yeah, Flattened Scruggs, everybody, with Like a Rolling Stone. And yeah, that, you know, the Bob Dylan song, Hello. Anyways, I picked up that for a quarter. Yes, we're celebrating National Record Store Day here on the Sunday Morning Hangover. Just got a call from Craig Lev. I saw him down at CD World yesterday. And, just a lot of fun. We got to see Frank Black yesterday. We're going to see Exene there today. I've got another 25-cent record that I can't resist playing. It's not music, okay? And it's on this label called, the label is called First Federal Savings of Klamath Falls. This is going to be good. Here, check it out.
4:18 p.m. Sunday, July 20th, 1969. The ears of hundreds of millions wait for a single voice from outer space.
4:13 is in. We copy you down, Eagle.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
And man is on the moon, a historic milestone climaxing the dreams of man from virtually his very creation, a scientific triumph culminating a concentrated space effort called for in the spring of 1961 when the late President John Kennedy called for boldness in issuing a challenge to put America on the moon before the end of the decade.
But if I were to say, my fellow citizens, that we shall send to the moon a giant rocket carrying all the equipment needed for propulsion, guidance, control, communications, food, and survival on an untried mission, and do all this, and do all this, and do it right, and do it first, before this decade is out, then we must be bold.
And America was bold. It did the job right, and it did it first. And it succeeded within the twilight of the decade as another president, in another speech, wrote the final chapter in man's space saga.
Neil, Buzz, and Mike, I want you to know that I think I'm the luckiest man in the world. And I say this not only because I had the honor to be president of the United States, but particularly because...
Okay, you get the point, right? Hey, another record I've got for a quarter, it's by the Cow Sills. Yes, the Cow Sills, they did like... The Rain, the Park, and other things. And one of those guys died during Hurricane Katrina. Bill Cowsill, You Shall Be Remembered. I'm going to be playing a record by the Cowsills here called Poor Baby. Hope you enjoy it. We got sports coming up at noon. Also, I'm going to tell you about a show by the Underlings coming up at Lucky's at 4:23. I forget what day that is. And don't forget, Willamette Animal Guild has a party today. 1 o'clock. Oh, here's a great one. The Vagina Monologues. Yes, the Vagina Monologues takes place this week, Wednesday, April 21st at LCC. I just love to tell you all about the Vagina Monologues. Don't forget that.
Poor baby, something always bringing you down. If you look for it, baby, there's so much unhappiness all around. Don't cry, your daddy gonna buy your one-way tickets to sunshine.
One-way ticket to sunshine.
Cheer up your, try to clear up your mind.
Cheer up,
try to clear, baby.
Under the weather,
try to close your eyes and dream.
right, the cow sills, everybody. Well, this has been a heck of a show. We have next week on the Sunday Morning Hangover, Elliot Martinez from Booze Week, and that's going to be awesome. We also have the two ladies from Hot Drama the week after. Reverend Mark Tyne, Sunday Morning Hangover, KWVA Eugene, signing off. Thank you for all the phone calls. You can reach me at SundayMorningHangover.com or Facebook, MySpace, any of those other places. Have a great day.